Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Chanim Eric Katz, and today we'll be studying Sefer Tehillim, Perek Tzadivav 96. We're continuing on our theme of Kabbalah Shabbos. Yesterday we discussed how the six mizmorim are connected. 95 is the introductory mizmor, and it expresses the two themes of Shabbos. Hashem created the whole world in 6 days, and therefore the entire universe owes him allegiance. And the second theme is the unique bond that Hashem has with the Jewish people, and Shabbos is the symbol of our covenant with Hashem. So the next four chapters, from Perek 96 until 99, form the core of this section. And we're going to see a pattern. 96 and 97 both focus on the first main idea, which is Hashem is the creator of the universe. So we're going to call them part 1A and part 1B. 96 is A, 97 is B. Then we're going to see 98 and 99 shift to the second main idea, which is our special relationship with Hashem. 98 is 2A and 99 will be 2B. So it's interesting to notice how these chapters all relate to each other, because you're going to find similar ideas in 96 and 98, which both are part 1A and part 2A. And then you're going to see similar ideas in 97 and 99, because that'll be part 1B and part 2B. So 95, 96, 97 sort of lay out the theme, and then 98, 99, 100 are the flip side of all those themes. So we're just going to keep that in mind as we analyze them. Yesterday, we spoke about how the Jewish people reached out to the nations, inviting them to praise Hashem. But we saw that our message was not heard because we ourselves weren't at that level we needed to be spiritually to have enough influence to inspire others. So we ended with a warning to learn from the past and not repeat the mistakes of our ancestors in the wilderness. So today's Perek 96, we have now reached the future. It's a prophetic glimpse of what will be. And it envisions a time when a Jewish people will have reached a state of spiritual refinement, and this will enable the world to recognize Hashem. In this future, the nations will respond to our call of Lechunu Ananah LaHashem, and they will join us to go up to the Beit HaMikdash to offer a new song of praise, Shir LaHashem Shir Chadash, which is the opening pasuk of this Perek. Rav Amos Chacham, in his commentary Dat Mikra, divides the Perek into four distinct sections. The first one, Psukim 1 to 3, is a call to sing to Hashem, starting with Shir LaHashem Shir Chadash, and is directed to all the nations. The entire world is invited to join us in praising Hashem. The second section is a proclamation that Hashem is king. This is seen as the reason of why we all have to praise Hashem. Section C is a call for nations to fear Hashem, not just to sing songs, but to actually come and worship him. And then section 4, which is Psukim 11 to 13, is an invitation to nature itself to come and rejoice at Hashem's judgment. When you look at this perek inside, I want you to count and notice how many times the word kol, which means all, appears. Okay, spoiler alert, I will tell you. It recurs 7 times. The number 7, as we know, corresponds to the 7 days of the week, which really fits in beautifully with our theme of Shabbos, and it symbolizes completion within the physical realm. So this prominent repetition of kol underscores the universal and harmonious nature of Hashem's presence and influence. He extends to all people. Judaism believes that Hashem is everyone's God. You do not have to convert to Judaism to connect to Hashem. So this perek emphasizes that every being, every human, even every creature is connected to Hashem and therefore needs to offer Hashem praise. So we begin. The mizmor starts, Pasuk Aleph, Shir LaHashem Shir Chadash, a new song. Why are we singing a new song? So in the past, the nations of the world, those who believed in a God, recognized that Hashem once made the world, but in their mind, he made the world and then left it, just like a craftsman who creates an object. Once he's finished creating the object that he was paid to make, he leaves it. But the Malbim emphasizes that Hashem perpetually sustains and directs the creation with infinite power. And that's what we say in the Brach of Shema, HaMachadesh B'tuva B'chol Yom Tamid Maaseh Bereshit, who renews in his goodness all day, constantly, the act of Bereshit, creation. We believe that anything in this world that exists is because Hashem is at that moment willing it into existence. If Hashem didn't will it to existence at that moment, it would cease to exist. This is why we have to continually sing to Hashem, because if we're alive at this moment, it means Hashem right now wants us to exist. Now, if you look inside, you will notice that there is a tripart invitation. The same word is repeated 3 times to sing to Hashem. Shiru LaHashem Shir Chadash, sing to Hashem a new song. Shiru LaHashem Kol Haaretz, sing to Hashem all the land. Shira la Hashem baruch shemo, sing to Hashem and praise his name. It's a beautiful poetic effect. But then if you carry on looking at this invitation to sing to Hashem, you'll notice there's a difference in why the Jews are singing to Hashem and why the nations of the world are singing to Hashem. So the pasuk continues, Basru miyom liyom yeshueta, tell the good news from day to day of his salvation. The Jews are singing about Yeshua, salvation. Whereas in the next pasuk, the nations of the world, Sipru Bagoyim, tell among the nations, Kavodo, about his glory, B'chol ha'amim niflatav, and amongst all the people, his wonders. So we thank Hashem for Yeshua, our salvation. I mean, Hashem saving us. The nations of the world are in awe of Hashem's wonders, the miracles that Hashem does. Why are we using different words? Because to us, the constant working of nature is just as miraculous as overt supernatural miracles. They're both implements of Hashem. So we don't focus so much on the miracle because to us, nature is as miraculous as a miracle. Rather, we're focusing that Hashem used his agent of nature to rescue us. Whereas the nations of the world are impressed when they see that Hashem can manipulate nature. Therefore, they realize that all along, Hashem is the one in control. Now, we said yesterday that these mizmorim, 4 out of the 6 of them, have the definition of a song of praise. And the format of a song of praise is that it will have an invitation to praise Hashem and then a rationale why. So after we had the statistic triple invitation to praise Hashem, now we need to have our rationale. And a rationale always starts with the word ki, because ki gadol Hashem u'mahalo ma'od narahu al kol Elohim. Here Elohim means powers, not God. So for Hashem is great and beyond praise, more awesome than any power. Ki kol Elohei ha'mim elilim, all the powers of the nations are nothing. V'Hashem shamayim asa, whereas Hashem made the heavens. So we're continuing a theme that we're building on from yesterday. If you remember yesterday, we said, ki kel gadol Hashem, u'melech gadol al kol Elohim, for Hashem is greater than all other perceptions of power. Now we're saying not only is Hashem greater than other power, but the other powers are useless. And if they have any power, it's just because Hashem gave them that power. The Meshorer elaborates that not only is Hashem greater than all the other powers that we mistakenly worship, but the very powers themselves are the ones who praise Hashem. Because what people used to do in the olden days as a mistake is they saw the agents of Hashem, the sun, the stars, even some of the times they could actually manipulate angels, they saw them as powers in and of themselves. But these creations of nature were very aware of Hashem. I mean, who knows better about Hashem than the malachim, the angels, and the sun and moon and stars? They're much more aware of Hashem's presence than we are. So it causes them tremendous embarrassment when human beings give honor to them instead of Hashem. But when the whole world recognizes that all power comes from Hashem, this takes away the embarrassment, and now they're free to praise Hashem with joy together with the rest of us. Now, in a bit more detail, ki kol Elohei amim elilim, all the powers that the other people would worship were nothing, v'Hashem shamayim asa, but Hashem made the heavens. What's the juxtaposition of these two parts? So the Al-Sheikh says, if Hashem is almighty powerful, then why doesn't he destroy idols? So follow the logic. Hashem could destroy the worthless statues for sure, but then you're left with the sun, moon, stars, the pieces of nature. If Hashem would destroy them, the world wouldn't exist. But if Hashem would only leave those in existence and destroy all the other idols, then people would ascertain even more power to the forces of nature. So Hashem would rather let the forces of nature operate as they should. And if people want to make a mistake, they do, rather than deny the world what it needs. However, if you really want to think carefully about it, the clue that these forces have nothing is Hashem Shamayim Asa, that Hashem made the heavens. Because if we look in Bereshit, first Hashem made heaven and earth before anything else, and only after that he created the sun, the moon, the stars, the angels, all the other things that people ascribe power to. We spoke how Hashem wears a robe of Oz, where Hashem governs the world with nature. So we say in our perek, Hod v'hadar lefanav, Oz v'tiferet b'mikdasho. Splendor and majesty go before him, power and beauty in his sanctuary. Havu l'Hashem kavod v'oz. So you hear the word Oz is repeated twice. Give credit to Hashem, all the families of the nations. Give to Hashem glory and might. So in Mizmor 93, we discussed how the Malbim explains that When Hashem interacts with the world through the laws of nature, this is called Oz. So here we encourage the nations, don't look at the force of nature as something to worship, rather recognize that it's Hashem who's ruling the world through the forces of nature. Now, in the next Yipsukim, we are going to have our next invitation to praise. Havu l'Hashem mishpachot amim, havu l'Hashem kavod v'oz. Give credit to Hashem, all families of the nation. Give Hashem glory and might. Havu l'Hashem kavod shamo, su'u mincha, bring up an offering. Uvo l'cha tutov, and come to his temple. So you will notice as you read it, again we have a triple invitation to praise Hashem. But this time with the word havu. Let us bring, let us bring. But instead of having the rationale straight away, we have an interlude where it describes nature itself coming to praise Hashem. Yismuchu Hashemayim v'tagel ha'aretz, yiram ha'yam umla'o. Let the heavens rejoice and the earth celebrate. Let the sea and all that's in it roar in praise. Ya'aloz sadai v'chol asherba, azuraninu kol atzei yar. Let the fields and everything in it celebrate, and all the forests will sing in joy. So the Ibn Ezra explains that nature will rejoice by carrying out the functions that Hashem assigns it. How does nature rejoice? When we do what Hashem wants us to do, then it will rain at the right time, and the crops will be abundant, and we'll be satisfied with the food we eat. And this is what we say in Shema, v'haya, when it will be, where we do everything we're supposed to do. I will give you rain in your land in the right time. Yore or Malkosh, early rains, late rains. Vasafta de ganecha, and you will gather your crops for sirashcha and your wine, vitzarecha. Vanatati esev besadcha, livhemtecha vachalta vasavate, and you'll give produce from your fields to your animals, and everyone's going to eat and be satisfied. So this is how nature sings. When we do what we're supposed to do, then nature functions. Rav Hirsch expands on this idea. It's not just poetic to describe nature flourishing when we do Hashem's will. It's actually a deep connection between our actions and either the progression or stagnation of the natural world. When we achieve our destiny as human beings, then everything that helps us to achieve our destiny is lifted up and achieves its higher purpose. On the other hand, when we misuse the earth's resources for selfish and material desires, then the heavens mourn the corruption of life that they nurture and they've put effort into. And Rav Hirsch points out that the specific mention of trees in the forest is important because it's a good paradigm for what we're talking about. The forest is the home of the animal kingdom, right? So trees' neutral job is to provide shelter for animals. It's not good. It's not bad. If people cut down the trees and utilize the wood to build batei midrash, places to learn Torah, to utilize it to do chesed, to serve God, this allows the trees to attain a higher purpose and they rejoice over the opportunity. But when trees are cut down for greed, for evil, for exploitation, nature cries out and we question humanity's right to exploit innocent nature for sinful and irrational purposes. So this is something to keep in mind when we think about all the physical aspects of enjoyment on Shabbos, when we utilize everything that's out there in nature to make a lot of food and host guests. And then we sit around our table and we say Divrei Torah, words of Torah, and we sing Zmirot. Then we're elevating ourselves and we're elevating everything at that table that we have utilized for this opportunity. So after this beautiful description, we now have our second rationale for praising Hashem. Listen out for the key word, Lifnei Hashem, before Hashem, Kiva. Kiva lishbot ha'aretz. Rav Hirsch also explains this pasuk. He breaks it up a little bit more. The happiness of the heavens and the rejoicing on the earth, the celebration of the fields and the singing of the forest, all coincide with Hashem's intervention on earth. Why is everybody singing and why is Hashem intervening? Kiva lishbot ha'aretz, because he's coming to judge the land. How is he going to judge it? Yishpot tevel betzedek, in order to create a just society for people, ve'amim bemunata, and to guide people towards salvation, with enduring faithfulness. Meaning, sometimes when people come to judge, it's punitive. But when we see how everybody gets what they deserve to the tiniest detail and how fair it is, it will increase our emunah in Hashem. So let's summarize. Perek 96 has four distinct movements, each building on the theme of universal acknowledgement of Hashem. First, we have our initial invitation to sing, directed at all the nations. Then we move to the reason for this praise, Hashem's unparalleled greatness and the creation of heavens. Then we move to a call for people to revere Hashem. And we culminate in a description of nature itself joining in praising Hashem. This mizmor, which is viewed through the lens of Shabbos, is a testament to the fact that Hashem created the world, and we anticipate a future where everything that Hashem created will recognize and rejoice in Hashem's sovereign rule, a theme which we will see continued in the next perek, perek 97. Thank you for studying Le'ilu Nishmat, Helen Moskowitz and Fanny Lehman. Their legendary kindness supported hundreds of World War II Sherry Tapleta. Their profound connection to Tehillim is inspirational to this day. Sponsored by their grandchildren, Yitzhak and Bobby Lehman Siegel.